Yeah, I'm Jackson. I have zero experience with carpentry.
I studied at a school for historic preservation in Boston and learned about how things were built, you know, 250 years ago.
There's a long way to go. I'm nowhere near the top. Not that I thought I was, but there's so much more to do out there.
Welcome back to the Passion for Craft podcast. Today we are talking about build science. Specifically, is it BS? Answer is yes, but also, is it yes?
Dang, how long have you been waiting to use that?
Yeah, exactly.
I just have it on the spot, what? Actually.
I feel like this is long overdue for us to talk about build science. Have we talked about it before?
You have gone on like a 20-minute rant on windows, on the air gap in the windows, insulated windows.
So
you said R value a couple times.
I wanted to talk about this because there is a build science in beer. Build science in beer?
Is that building and brews?
No, dang, it's not. And so build science in beer is basically these Travis Baumgartner, Baumgartner. It's totally massacred his name.
His name's Travis.
Travis, I apologize. He hosts these things, so you guys need to go to their website and go find them, because there was one in Dallas last week. My team went to it.
BS and beer. They did say BS.
Wow. Yeah, and so they go all around the country and look at the colors in those in the United States map right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do those colors represent?
The heat.
No, those are climate zones, and so we're
isn't in that the heat.
Yo,
we're in.
I'll just say no because I said something.
We're in climate zone 2, 3. We kind of saddle those things, and depending on what climate zone you're in, depends on the kind of building envelope that you're building. Right?
Why does that matter?
Depends on the.
Why does the climate zone matter? Like, what are they factoring in?
Can you just stop?
Are they factoring in heat?
It's not just heat. Okay. Oh my gosh. So in any case, it was really good. Okay. So, and I kind of,
you're usually ho hum.
I know. Yeah. I can poo poo the build science stuff and I'll justify my stance as far as preservation goes against the build science people. But I realized, great awakening there, realized that it's just a different metric. Okay. They care about building quality just like we care about, just like I care about building quality. But they are looking at a different metric. And that's cool because in my mind, it was like looking at it going, okay, there's multiple ways to build out there. There's multiple approaches to building quality. It doesn't just have to be kind of this beauty preservation thing that I tend to chase, and it does. There's good metrics that these guys are going after that matter and that are important. So I wanted to, you know, talk about build science because
you want to apologize to the people in the comments who have been
because I don't think I was
no
I mean I don't think there's anything to apologize about it. I still my
I haven't seen anyone say anything crazy. Yeah, I was kidding. So
the thing that was interesting, here's my takeaway, and quick caveat, I did not go to the whole 2-day thing. It's a 2-day seminar. I had all these meetings and stuff scheduled. Travis, I realized about it too late.
I'm way behind on a bunch of stuff. Got a lot of stuff.
I'm really busy. That was an elf.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of stuff to go over, and I'm way behind on a bunch of stuff.
So... one of the things that they started out the thing, Steve was there, Jake was there, Travis was there, they have a bunch of great speakers. It's a great thing. And Travis is leading it. They were able to give about $50,000 worth of scholarships. I mean, it's awesome. Sweet. Right? It's awesome. And so one of the things that, you know, Steve broke it down for us really at the beginning. And he was just basically said, you know, water's number one. Okay. Water's the enemy that we're trying to keep out. Okay, just manage water, okay? Next is...
I mean, that you've been singing that on these guys
yeah,
for a 100%, while.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Agree. Same page.
Okay.
Next thing is air. Manage air, okay? Which, and that's where they get into the envelope and stuff like that. And, you know, he said, because my guys kind of looked at me, he said, do you think buildings should breathe? And of course, my guys look at me because I'm always talking about buildings breeding. And Steve was like, yes, they should breed, but we got to control that. So again, I realize we're not too far apart. And you know, then it's
we're saying the same thing.
So it's water, air, vapor. Okay, vapor is number three, and you'll hear about vapor barriers and vapor control, things like that.
Just to define vapor, is that water plus air? Like moist air. Like what would be vapor? I guess smoke. I'm just trying to.
I know it's a great question. I think you're right. I think it's water plus air.
Okay,
and then it's thermal that you're trying to manage. Thermal,
just okay? Maintaining heat.
Yeah, and so and that's what R value is, resistance to heat and things like that. So those four things are the things that you're trying to manage, right? So you're like, okay, this isn't impossible. It gets hard when you're talking about water versus vapor, right? Mm-hmm. And because it's like, well, wait, yeah. The reason I appreciated him breaking it out kind of that way and saying water's number one, vapor, air's number two, vapor's number three, and thermal's number four is it helps you prioritize, or help me prioritize and think about what's important, what matters. And really, it gets down to that when you're working on an historic house, there is a completely different standard for it, because they mentioned that, you know, 20 years ago when foam was first coming out and insulation and vapor, okay, retardants, and they talked about in Canada at our lake house, yeah. Right? My dad, the way we built to code was they framed the house and then we lined the entire interior walls with plastic, okay, you know, poly.
Did you really?
Yeah. I did it too. We had guns filled with black, you know, tar. Basically, mm-hmm. We stuck the poly to the wall, and
the exterior wall,
interior wall. Now, what? If we were in Texas, it would be the exterior wall. Okay, 20 years ago, but there's been a new code that's been written that in Texas, okay, in zone 2 and 3, which is the reason why I brought that up, is that. You aren't permitted to put poly in our environment, okay? And depending on which zone you're in, you can't even do paper-backed fiberglass, because paper is a vapor retardant that you don't want in our climate. And so, depending on your climate,
is because they want vapor to escape here, basically.
Yeah, but the real takeaway is that you want things to dry out. Okay, that's really the key, is do you want things to be able to dry, okay, yeah. So that you don't want to hold moisture, and that's what vapor retardants did, mm-hmm. is they hold moisture inside a wall, and you just ended up with these molded messes, mm-hmm. inside there, because you had stopped vapor movement. So, and when the build science guys all start talking about vapor permeable, vapor, it becomes confusing for me. And so it's nice for me to simplify and break that down to exactly what we're trying to do.
Right.
Now, we've got a couple builds that we're starting on that we're like, okay, so now that we know that water's the enemy, now that we know that we want to manage air as the most important things, and as long as we're putting things on there that are vapor permeable in that it can dry out, I've managed most of the things that we're trying to do. And really what it comes down to is that level of air tightness, okay, that they are going after, that I'm kind of looking at going, because what happens is that you end up with details for, like, if you watch Matt's videos on when he was doing his house and making it, mm-hmm. you know, almost passive. I think it might be passive. And passive basically means it doesn't consume energy, yeah. Right? And so you don't have to, you know, spend a lot of money to heat and power, cool it, yeah. Right? So, but the details around the building that he put into that, okay, were things that would have been detrimental to our clients, okay, and so detrimental to the architectural style, mm-hmm. And so what they end up with, my critique would be, they end up with houses that are, you know, shoeboxes, or, you know, not very architecturally interesting or architecturally pleasing, because they are chasing after that, you know,
R value or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you do both, though? Why couldn't you have
it? Well, because you end up with, like,
I mean, this is a small example, and maybe it's wrong, but solar panels don't look great on the roof of a house. But if you're trying to go, you know, where you're not spending any money, you're like using your solar panels to power your electric bill. That's an area where it would like it doesn't. And I know that's not an example of what you're talking about, but
no,
it's,
I mean goes it's not. To the point. It's to the point. Yeah. I mean, or that you end up with, you know, people don't want windmills in their backyards, and so you know the you know literally there have been fights about that.
What?
But, oh yeah,
like wind turbines, yeah. Like wind farms.
Yeah, and so and even people that want to put a wind, you know, mill in their backyard so that they can, you know, that make their own energy.
Just a little bit.
The so you said why can't you do both? You said why can't you do both? Because the I think the quick answer is you probably can. Okay,
like if that house is all energy efficient and whatever, it's like not really in the ornamentation or design of it. It's like in the walls, right? If it's building science based, couldn't we just do that stuff in the walls and still have a, you know?
Yeah, but if you're going to, let's just say you're doing a French, you know, or a Tudor revival house, okay? The materials that the you know, so you've got timber, you've got brick, you've got, you know, stucco as the cladding, okay? In order to make that house airtight, you are building the walls, building the systems of that house so that you would almost have to make the airtight box and then clad your house with this material, and your wall thicknesses ends up being extra thick and extra clunky. So you're going to have to work out where you've got windows, where you've got doors. You're going to have weird connection details that are going to
on the inside and on the outside.
The quick answer is I suspect you can, but I've never done it. Mm-hmm. And so I would think that you're going to be working through, like, what's that windowsill connection going to be? What's that door? How are you going to enter your house? And what's that door connection going to be?
Like how deep
and just the sill details, and just, you know, managing water, managing air, and still having historic details is going to be difficult. I mean, windows would be a good example, right?
Windows, for sure.
They're not going to, you know, to get a passive house, you're probably, I suspect, if you made these other things tight, you're not going to have traditional windows in it. And so these European windows that those guys typically, you know, specify and want in their houses are a much more efficient window than, you know, than our double hung, for instance. And even though we've got a good window, it's not a European, you know, thing, but it also looks completely different, right? And we don't have insulated glass, and they have triple pane glass. We have divided light. They don't do divided light, right? It's just it'd be those areas that you would start stumbling up against to try to make it right. Chimneys, yeah. You know, multiple chimneys on an Elizabethan or a Tudor house, you know, chimneys are pretty inefficient. You know, they're basically a hole in your roof, and so right. And so you know, they're not an efficient. Those traditional building aren't super efficient, no. Right?
Well, I'm thinking like
open up to a flood.
I'm not really like I haven't studied build science much really at all. I've seen a little bit of it, but to me, it always feels like it's in the construction, like in the walls, what they're doing. You know,
I think most of it is. Yeah, I mean, here's where it comes down for me. I think it's a excellent metric to chase, okay? I think it is a way of managing the build of your house in that you are thinking through so many different aspects of building. You are really pre-building some of it to manage water, to make sure things are airtight, to think about wall assemblies, to think about, you know, just these details right there of how you're going to build up, how you're going to insulate, how you're going to, you know, he was pointing out that the zip system, the Huber zip system, in many cases is not installed properly. Okay.
Huber zip system. What is that?
Okay. Huber's a company and they have what's called the zip system. Basically they have a exterior sheathing that we used to put. We used to put plywood on the outside of the houses or chipboard, and then you'd wrap it in Tyvek. And Tyvek would be is this water barrier.
It's like a big roll.
It's stapled to the wall. Well, Huber ended up just basically impregnating their chipboard with the Tyvek.
Okay.
And so it's basically a two-part system.
So is it almost like...
all those seams are taped.
Okay. So it's almost like plywood, but it's got some plastic in it that holds it together.
Yeah, I call it like 4x8 mulch.
Okay.
I mean, it is. Yeah. Like it's OSB that's...
It has
chemicals in it. I'm not against it.
I don't think it's OSB. I think it's just chipboard, isn't it?
Oh,
is
really?
It OSB?
What's the difference between those two?
It's basically the quality of the sheathing material, whether it's made of chips of wood, whether it's made of particles of wood, whether it's made of veneers of wood. And I don't know.
I have like a slightly tangential.
Well, all I was going to say is that, you know, they were pointing out that then this is one of the things that makes the build science difficult is for a lot of people is they think that if I spray foam on the thing that I've got a very efficient, you know, airtight building, and they assume that a lot of builders would just do the airtight thing with the foam and go done. I'm efficient. Right. Mm-hmm. And not realizing that because of the air, because of the vapor, because of the water, right, if they don't manage it properly, you can end up with real problems, which is the reason I don't like foam, right? Mm-hmm. It's a problem waiting to happen.
So it's essentially like wearing, when you wear a rain jacket that's made completely out of rubber, rain boots made completely out of rubber, you start sweating inside of it. And that's 100%. The
because there's not vapor permeable.
Right.
Right. Where Gore-Tex, I think, comes along and allows it to breathe.
It pulls
right?
it out. Yeah.
And so that's a great example of the technological leap that's taken place that you think about sweating inside a rubber suit, right? Because the air isn't moving inside there and it's a dead space. You think if that's your wall, right, and you're not allowing air to move, you are basically just creating a big sponge.
It's all stuffy.
That's just going to rot out eventually.
Well, you're just going to get all sweaty, and so the house is going to get all sweaty, and it's going to rot.
Correct.
So,
because water's the enemy, right?
And water is the enemy, number one. This was my tangential question. I think it applies now. What's the air? Why do we care about airflow? Is that truly just to keep... Because in my mind, it's like vapor really matters. Is airflow just there to like let your house breathe? Is that like what's a problem in having like a lot of airflow, you know? I'm thinking of like a sunroom, right? Where it's a ton of airflow. Or like an old house where the door doesn't match the jam.
Well, I think if you've ever sat, you know, in a leaky old house and you have the air coming through there, that's really where the efficiency happens. Mm. That's where if you don't have airflow,
that's step one of our value.
Yeah, that's step one of creating a more efficient space. Mm-hmm. Because when they put a blower door on a house, okay.
What's a blower door? Sorry.
Okay, so one of the things that build science people have started to do is they, and in fact, code requires now, it's a little bit of a scam, but the code requires now for you to have, when you build a new house, that you have a blower door test, okay? Mm-hmm. And so these guys...
liars are getting them here.
No, we have a blower door that we are wanting to take greater use of. We haven't used it like we should. But basically, what happens is this red thing is put on the front door of a house, okay, and it measures resistance, okay. And so there's the ACH, air changes per hour, okay. Mm-hmm. And you are testing how many air changes per hour your house has, okay? And that's air movement. And
air changes meaning?
Full air, like all that cubic air changing and moving from inside to outside within an hour, okay? And so the code right now, I think, is 5 in Texas. It's 3 in some areas.
Why is it a scam?
You did just kind of drop that bomb.
Well, here's why. Here's what happened on a couple houses that we've done. Okay. We call this energy company out, and they are an independent energy company that's supposed to give you your release that says your blower door did the.
You're the blowerist door.
ACH of 3. Okay.
Your door blows.
So we did a house, and they came and tested, and we were doing a 5. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, well, we got to seal it up. So we go back, we test our things. Hey, we think it's the windows. We think it's this thing. We test. They come back again. We blow a five. And I'm like, why are we? And so I'm calling Matt. I'm calling Jake. I'm saying, like, what's going? They go, you need to get out a fogging machine. You need to figure out where the air is going because we can't find it.
Right.
So get a fog machine, right? Go out there trying to figure out where we can't find. We can't find the leak. We're like, what is happening now? The other thing that's happening is that when they come in, and they tape off.
Oh, it's legit a fog machine. We have one of those at the K-Life house. That's so funny.
They
That's funny.
They
tape off all the entries and exits.
They tape off the fireplaces. Okay, they tape off sometimes. Like we had a.
Why do they do the door?
Yes.
What's huh?
So are they just checking the door? Like, what's the purpose of that?
This is where I'm saying it's a little scammy, okay? Because they tape off sometimes plumbing openings. They tape off sometimes things that
stuff just things that are going to be open in the normal operation of the house.
Correct.
Okay.
And so, but basically, they're testing. They're trying. The reason they're taping those things off because they want to test your envelope, okay? But they tape off so many things. They tape off vent hoods, right? They tape off these things that are penetrations in your house that are going to require and move air through your house. And so they're only really testing your envelope, but you're like, wait a minute. So basically what you're doing is you're creating a false environment to test my envelope, even though I've got five fireplaces in the house and I'm going to have 20 air exchanges per hour because I've got fireplaces.
That is weird.
Yeah. So that's why I say it's kind of scammy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I appreciate them testing the envelope, but it's just not a real condition. Now, here's the rest of that story is I finally called the energy company back. I'm not going to say their name. And the guy said, look, you've come back twice. Mm-hmm. I've done the fog. I can't find the things. He goes, well, hang on a second. Let me look at this. Tested the thing. He goes, oh, well, they didn't add in the roof calculation to your thing. You got a three and gave me this sheet. And so I just was like, okay, that's kind of scammy. And you know,
that's really weird. That's kind of nerdy too.
It's not a perfect system. Let me just say it that way. It's not.
It just seems like it's got a lot of potential, but it's under thought through right now.
I agree. I think it is a. I think to test the air exchanges per hour in a house is a positive
appropriate
test.
Yeah.
Right. Because you are testing the efficiency of the things. Is it perfect? No. But it is a metric that people can start pursuing and trying to get to. But anyway, that's why I said it's kind of scammy. So you asked me like what did I learn in this thing?
Yeah.
And so it's one. I guess there's a inferiority complex that I have being on the build show because those guys are all about build science, and there's sometimes I'm wondering whether my metric is right metric where you want to hear like am I right about that? Because I've been saying this pretty strong,
right.
And so it was a confirmation that I am barking up the right tree, that I am fighting for the right fights, but also an appreciation for what those guys are trying to do, right? And so,
they are doing good things.
Absolutely,
it's not BS.
No, it's not BS. It's good things. They are
but
fighting.
It is BS.
They are fighting for good metrics.
Great point.
And they are my critique would be that they're not fighting for beauty enough, right? And so, you know, anyways, but you know, here's where the rubber meets the road for me because when we talk about,
I'm sure they could paint on those things. They could paint like a cool design or something.
Put a tattoo on it.
Yeah, if you really wanted to fight for beauty, maybe you could get the red door and green. You know,
here's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where. Like in insulation, I don't use foam in our houses, and I fight against that. Now, I think that that's true 98% of the time. There might be a place where foam might be.
Is this in Texas? Are you speaking Texas only? Okay,
I'm speaking Brent Hull only. I'm not even saying that that's for necessarily for our climate zone. I'm saying it's for. It's a decision that I've had after being burned by foam a couple of times. I don't want that in my walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, you know, advocating for things like cellulose or rock wool, okay, or mineral wool. Yeah. So the reason why is because those things dry out, okay? Mm-hmm. You get foam wet, it won't dry. Mm-hmm. And so you want something that can, that you know, wet and dry. Now, cellulose is great because...
Is that cellulose?
Yeah, cellulose is basically newspaper that has been, you know, there's been borates put into it, and it is a very efficient... insulation that, you know, has its place. Cellulose, the fact that it can be broken up like that, rock wool can't be blown into cavities. So if you have an historic house, and we've had one of our houses, wherever we opened the walls, we blew cellulose in, but where we didn't open the walls, we actually blew cellulose into the cavities above the windows and below the windows.
You said that twice. What you meant was wherever you open the walls, you put rock wool in. And then wherever you open the
okay. where we couldn't put a bat in, we blew cellulose in. Okay, and so I think that, and those can make, you know, old houses much more efficient.
Yeah,
and so I think that, you know, the air gap is huge. Okay, and what that means is that you want breathability. That's why when we put siding on a house, we put it on we put an air gap in there, and that air gap can be as big as an inch. Ours is typically 3/8 of an inch or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's just strips on the wall that we then put the siding to. Yeah. We back prime our siding, but there's now air movement going behind that wall, and it allows it to dry out. If you've got siding that's actually, you know, peeling and stuff, that means you don't have a good air gap back there, and that means you got a problem.
So that's typically what causes that. Whenever you see paint peeling and like all that, it's water.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, so. That's how we're approaching, you know, these historic houses. Is where and we've had houses, and even Matt came and said, you know what, I'm not sure I'd put insulation in these walls, because what you're going to do is you can trap water when you do that in the walls, and you can actually create a condition that actually causes rot, hurts the house. And so it's, you know, realize that this thinking and this science is constantly evolving, right? It's constantly
what? I'm pretty tired, so I was probably dozing off a little bit.
Well, here I am thinking I'm saying something interesting in Jackson.
So I've been drinking so much hot chocolate because I'm like, sorry, I really am listening, but my eyes are just.
My eyes are napping, but
I'm here. Go ahead. No, continue.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, what do you think about all this?
I think it's really interesting.
Do you really?
Yeah.
it's a little technical and a little geeky. No, I'm
just messing with you. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of it.
You don't run across it enough to.
Yeah, I don't really. I don't even get into it really. So.
Yeah, what's your exposure to it? Because like
putting foam down an exterior door. Yeah, I mean, like I don't really do any exterior stuff or build anything, but yeah, not much.
Because you're more focused on
interior when things are
pretty
done.
Stuff.
Yeah, when all the envelopes are already sealed in.
Yeah.
Then we're pretty much coming in and doing stuff.
How much did you get involved in it?
I don't know much about it.
When you paint drywalled, like when you did all that kind of stuff, how much did you get involved in it then?
We painted our stuff.
Okay.
But it's still all, that's still all when the envelopes closed up and all the build science or lack thereof is done.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's, you know, what we're trying to do, you know, ultimately is try to build the best long lasting house possible. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
and I was joking with you. It is interesting. I was just kind of playing off his thing. Like, honestly.
And this technology is evolving right now. And so we're putting in SEER units that are SEER rating, okay, which is a energy efficiency rating for air conditioners that are, you know, serrated to 2024. No,
I'm not falling asleep. I'm listening.
I can't stop thinking about you falling asleep now.
And so
it was worse the past Victorian episodes. It was worse.
Yeah. So
Anyway.
So we're trying to get something that's efficient and long lasting. And so that's why. But my priority is to build something beautiful, right? That's the priority.
That's the top
historic precedent, you know, that we think what's been built in the past is the best. It's the most beautiful. That's the way to build. And so if it's leaded glass windows that are inefficient, so be it, because we're going to have something that's beautiful and long lasting, right? And so, but the build science thing about managing water is absolutely a metric that you want to try to manage and try to get through. And
it's something that you've said time and time again, is like water is our number one enemy with the 100-year window. And so
that's why it was reassuring going to this thing. Richard said, what did you learn? I was just like, I learned that we're fighting the same thing. We're fighting the same battle. And so, you know, water is the enemy for both of us. And so
I feel like, didn't we already like figure a lot of this out, like in historic buildings? Like a lot of this. No, really. I'm serious. Like,
but that's funny.
With the gutters and like, this is already.
Well, there's
like
a reason.
I'm sure in like the 1700s they're like, we don't want water in here.
Yeah. Well, and the other, you know? The other thing that's interesting, if you look at some of those buildings and the thermal massing in the walls and the fact that they've lasted for 1,000 years and the way they were built, like someone was asking me, I think my daughter was saying that, like, why don't you build solid masonry walls? And I was sitting there going, well, no one's asked. And I was sitting there going, you know, really, if we're trying to build something really quality, then probably we should be building solid masonry walls. And so, you know, it's challenged me, right? Mm-hmm. Just, I think there's the money thing. It's also a
convenience of life thing. It sucks to screw pictures into a solid masonry wall.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things like that that you'd have to think through.
Plaster is probably a really good insulator, right?
Yeah. So, but it holds a lot of moisture and it breathes, and it, you know, it holds moisture and let go of moisture, and so it wouldn't rot, right? You wouldn't have mold, you know, happening like you would, because there's nothing to eat there. So, anyway, it was. It's a different way of thinking. Like, if I'm going to build a solid masonry wall, it's going to be 14 inches thick, 18 inches thick. Then I'm like, okay, well, now I got to figure out, you know, where are my windows going to set, and how am I going to get water to shed off these things? You'd have to work through a lot of these different.
On that one picture he had of that cutaway where it's like a cross section of a wall, it looked like his wall was real thick.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too.
Like that exterior, insulation.
So what he's got is a concrete, I think.
It looks like he's setting like cement.
Like that looks.
Boards and cement.
I think he's got, exterior cavity. Oh, see what they're doing there? He's got an exterior cavity.
That's what I'm saying. That's giant.
Yeah.
Right?
And so that's where, when you think of about a passive house like that, because then they go up in north, they're like, the reason you put exterior insulation on the exterior of a house is the same reason you put a jacket on when you go out in this cold weather. You want to keep the heat in, so you put a jacket on.
Yeah.
And so they're putting sheathing on insulation on the outside of their houses. And you were saying, well, why couldn't you make it beautiful? I go, well, that's hard to make it beautiful when you've got a foot of insulation on the outside of your house.
But also, I mean, that's where, to Gigi or Harriet's point, just make that, like, that's one slab of rock. You know what I mean?
No, I know. And so
and that's beautiful. That's
and
way more
one
beautiful.
Guy I wanted to have on our talks is the guy up in Oklahoma is doing the 1,000-year house, I think, on Instagram. He's doing solid masonry wall.
1,000-year?
Yeah, that's his Instagram handle.
He's 10Xing you.
And so he's thinking about building like we are, like that, like how do we make it last and why? And he's just started building solid masonry construction. Mm. And, you know, I would love to hear what he's learned and kind of go through what he's doing. So,
1,000-year house. That's funny.
Yeah. And so, and then you think about things historically and you go like, well, you know, that is how long those buildings last. That is what's happening on those. And so, I think it's called Carlton Landing.
I was going to ask about that because I followed him after you talked about having him on the podcast. I'm just having trouble finding him.
I remember seeing one of your comments that was like, Brent, of course you can say it's a 100-year window. You won't be here to warranty it when it's time, you know?
I was asking about his warranties on the 100-year window today.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to get into it, but
I think what happened was is we you know, I, you know, we had a debate around here, like, how long are we going to warrant it? And I was like, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because at a point it comes to maintenance, and that's not your responsibility.
100%. And so, but, you know, and...
So technically you should warranty it as long as that mortar will last.
As long as the putty glazing will last.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
That seems fair.
I suppose that there is... well, for one, I know that when we send the windows out and they're primed, that a lot of times we say you have to put a coat of paint on these within 30 days or, mm-hmm. or you avoid the warranty. A lot of the times they're not. Mm-hmm. And so that put that, you know, so there are things that are a little bit outside of control that manage that. I think we ended up with a 5 or 15 or 10 year warranty. I can't remember, but, mm-hmm. but it was but basically consulted our lawyers and said, what do we do? You know, anyway, but that's what we do there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 1,000-year house that he's doing. I think he's got good designs. I think he's got, you know.
How do you like the metal roof?
I mean, it's a good, you know, it's a good roof. And so
I guess if you're going to say 1,000-year, you need a metal roof, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, but this is a fun conversation. How long should something last, right? And so the walls probably will last that long. The windows, even if they're 100-year windows, you know, won't last 200 years before they need to be repaired. That roof is probably a 75-year to 100-year roof. It's not a 1,000-year roof.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, then you start going through all the house going, well, how long is the wood going to last? How long is it, you know?
That's a bold claim, a 1,000-year house.
It is. It resets the standard. Yeah.
There's a new TV show that's out. On Netflix, one of my friends told me about it. It's called The Gentleman, it's inspired by Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman. It actually struck me because the estate that they live on, which is like a major plot point in the thing, one of the guys said, you know, how long has this been in your family? He's like, 1505, my grandfather built it in England and stuff. There's the estate. And so you're asking, how long should something last? And it's like, it's a beautiful estate. I mean, 1505 to 2020, that's an insane amount of time.
Yeah.
That is so long.
Back to that talk that Quinlan Terry had as far as, you know, how long something should last before it needs major maintenance. And he was, that was what he was, his thing was, this is 450 years before it needs major maintenance.
Holy.
And so, you know, it's
450 before it needs major maintenance.
Correct. And so, you know, that's a different standard of building, right? And so, you know, I think his 1,000-year house I love that he did that. I don't think the expectation should be as 1,000 years without maintenance, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to manage water. You got to do all these different things. And so
it is just funny even looking at some of these historic designs. We were in South Carolina and you were walking – we were there for my cousin's wedding and you're – that we're touring houses because it's what he does. And he's just a house guy. But you go, look at this porch. Why is it like this? Why is it like what? And you're like, look, it slopes off to the edge. Why?
You're like, Dad, we're not podcasting.
Like, I have no. Yeah. Look, Richard's not here. I don't know what you want me to say. But you basically were like, water. Then, you know, you take the water angle out of it. Water's number one concern, right? Well, if air is the secondary concern, why is air the secondary concern? Well, so it dries out the water. Okay, so water's still the number one concern. Air's just a fix to help with the water. All right, then why is vapor a concern? Well, because vapor can float up and leave water. Okay, so water's still the answer as to, like, why we're concerned about this. And then it seems like a tertiary thought or like, much, much later thought is heat retention. And, you know, surely there's a reason for that within the thing. I mean, obviously heat retention is great, but everything that you've even explained with the windows on heat retention is like, there's not a whole lot that the insulated window does. And maybe it does a lot, but also you're going to be replacing it every 4 mm-hmm. years. So is your electricity bill worth you replacing your window every so often when they crack, when they, you know, whatever it may be. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like, what is, and not to be a hater on this BS thing, but what is build science bringing to the table right here that's like,
well, yeah, I mean, well, I think
the tests.
I think they would argue that it's a comfort system, that when a house is built properly, there's a comfort level there. I think there's also an energy efficiency thing that literally these people are, they did some calculations. They ran some calculations that when the house is passive and when you're getting the government rebates and things like that, the house actually pays for itself. That there was one of the house he tested it over a 10-year period. Had returned $22,000. So, I mean, I think build science is real. I think that there's, you know, depending on where you are and depending on, you know, what you're trying to do, I think there's value there. But anyway.
Yeah, because there's also like the other end of the spectrum where it's like you have your framing and then like a piece of cardboard nailed to it.
Yeah.
And then those guys are like, that's the cheapest of the
cheap. Well, realize that it's a rich man's game in that you have to pay money to play because those systems, the geothermal, the solar, they're expensive. Mm-hmm. And so the high energy efficiency things are expensive. Now, they pay for themselves over time, but, you know.
It's not an immediate return.
No. I mean, it was the first 10 years to pay back itself and the next 10 years to actually make some money. So, anyway. But, I mean, you got to have an extra, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 that you're putting into the thing to make it work.
Well, it's interesting. I just thought it was interesting. I do think it's nice that they're standardizing some stuff and putting together, you know, some of these tests and other things. I mean, that's cool.
All right, so build science, not all bad, good stuff. Fighting a lot of the same fights.
Still BS to me. I'm just kidding.
Wait, I have a question. So, like, these passive houses, like, I don't want to, like, talk smack about, hold on, let me pull it up, this house, because I think it's Jake Bruton's house, but, like...
Interesting.
But, like, how long do you think this house is going to last, and do you factor that into the, like, environmental cost?
That is a really good question.
Sustainability factor, if this house doesn't last as long as something else.
Austin's drinking the Kool-Aid now, so he just asked, this passive house, how long does it last? Is it going to last as long as something else, or are you building 6 new homes? Is it going to even make it to 20 years whenever it's profitable?
Well, I think the fact that it's managing water means that it will last, right? The fact that it's not going to rot. So if you think about the exterior envelope is you know, airtight, and then they've managed water, nothing's going to cause that thing to fail, except when you get into, well, will the tape, okay, that's holding the zip tape together, how long does that last? Is that a 20 years? Is that a 100 years? Is that a, you know, 15? We don't know yet.
I mean, I've got something else that will affect this. Like, look at all the windows. Like, they're all... plastic windows, it looks like.
No, those are, I mean, if this is Jake's house, then that's a European window, and it's probably a 30-year, 50-year window.
Right on.
Before those seals fail. And so anyway,
okay,
so.
I mean, I was worried about the windows. I was worried about the paneling. I was worried about those were my big ones.
Yeah, knowing the way that they build it, and knowing the way they control water and everything else, I don't think that house fails, okay, in 20 years. You know, I mean, the thing that strikes me is you know, what does that contribute to the neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. What is that, you know, is that a beauty piece? Is that something that makes things more beautiful? I would argue it doesn't, but that's maybe a personal taste. But I think it's a good question. But I think if you build right, you know, even though that isn't stone, but that's all wood, I think that is a long-lasting building.
While you were using the facilities,
yes.
We we're just saying, like, you know, it is fun seeing this, but also we kind of think the code has been cracked a little bit with, you know, back in the day. Like, I think the best thing, this is just me personally, I'm not speaking for you two now, but I think the best thing that build science is bringing to the table is a standardization and like a metric and a unit that's getting told. But so far, they have kind of reinvented the wheel in a lot of ways, and sometimes in some ways it's made it easier, in other ways, and in a lot of ways, I just don't know what it brings to the table because I'm not in the trade. But a lot of these things, like, they were thinking about it in the past, you know.
So. Well, I think the one thing reason it's valuable is because it's you know, in all of home building, there aren't good metrics, right? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you know how good a carpenter you are, right? How do you know how good a builder I am, right? How do you, I think I am, but I don't know. And so when you introduce a metric that says your ACH has to be 3, you are establishing a metric that—
And that's healthy.
It is healthy. Yeah. And so I think that that's good, because I think building in general degenerates towards the cheap, and you need to—
For sure.
You need to hold some bars up and say, you gotta
degenerates towards the cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you love build science so much, why don't you marry it? Where'd you get those suits? The toilets. Well, that is it's a great episode on build science. Richard, any other crazy build science things?
No.
You gonna tell about that one time you put a solar panel on your windmill in the back of your house?
Well, like I said, I sprayed some foam between a door and a stud.
You're practicing build science. There you go.
Do you need one of those red doors?
No, I don't think so. I think my house would probably fail. It's an older house.
Yeah, me too.
What makes it fail? What makes us fail?
Too many cycles per hour.
Too many or too little?
Too many.
Okay.
It's leaking.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Well, thank you guys for watching this episode of Passion for Craft Podcast. Please shout out the build scientists out there. We appreciate you. All your hard work.